Fanboy Smackdown, episode number 59, There Will Be Blood. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Adam.
And this is episode number
59
of the Fanboy Smackdown podcast. It is still the Fanboy Smackdown podcast for a while. In case you did not listen to the Atonement episode, our last episode, we made the announcement there that we are going to be changing the name of the podcast.
Cue cheering.
Yeah, it was time. And really, this isn't going to change the podcast at all. The change is mostly
reasonably named now.
Yeah, that's the biggest change. We're reasonably naming it, and you know, giving a tweak to the website, getting us some new album art for, you know, for your iPod or
hopefully.
Yeah. Well. We need artists that will that have time. I sent an email out to three of my artist friends. One replied that, "Hey, busy." Two others replied that, "Yeah, when I get some time, I'll do it." But I know one of them is currently doing freelance work, and which, you know, that's paying work. I'm not paying
him. Yeah,
so I cannot fault him that in any way. And the other one's working on this web comic thing. I'm not really sure what's going on with that.
Yeah, silliness.
Go ahead and talk about that, man. You haven't mentioned that.
One of these days
here.
I'll get around to doing it.
Yeah.
Or getting around to talking about it.
Yeah, we should talk about that at some point. Your
maybe
other project.
Maybe I'll record a promo or something.
That'd be cool.
We'll talk about it next time.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it next time.
All right. Keep people wondering what the hell's going on. We'll leave them guessing.
We'll build the suspense.
There you go. Eventually, we're going to get around to talking about There Will Be Blood in this episode.
Yes, sometime today.
Yeah. but yeah, we're so heading back to where we diverged from. We're going to be talking about, or we're changing the name of the podcast. It will be called The Backseat Producers, or actually Backseat Producers. I guess we are the Backseat Producers. As the case would be, and we're going to make a cosmetic change, some tweaks to the website, some new album art, new music, which me and the other Tony got together on Friday evening last week, and
my kudos to Anthony because that sounded freaking awesome.
It was cool.
I was sitting on my couch and I was like, "Wow, I should have blown off my work and come out there."
Well,
and I felt guilty.
Shoot, I mean, there's nothing to feel guilty about. I'm sitting here, I'm chatting with you online with my headphones on, and he's over there mixing stuff. And you know, I know enough to fumble through making a podcast. And he is a bona fide musician, and you know he did our music for his music is what you hear at the beginning and end of every episode now, and going forward we're gonna have his music on the podcast, so it's awesome, and it's free, so, which is even better.
That's always a bonus.
Yeah, but we've already got two, and he's talking about making three, four, five more. He's really into it, and it's exciting. We're all excited about the name change and the changes that it's bringing. And hopefully, we're going to get a little more opportunities from this. That's one of the things we're hoping for, and maybe just to get some more listenership.
Yep.
You know, hopefully there will be people listening to this podcast in a month or two, who never heard of Fanboy Smackdown, may have never considered listening to a podcast called Fanboy Smackdown, but are interested in a podcast about movies. That's the one thing that's not going to change. We are going to continue talking about films. We may talk about TV also and things like that, like we've done in the past. But yeah, it's still the same show.
And I'm hoping Anthony shows up for a few more episodes this summer because I had a blast recording with him.
He is a great guy.
Really friggin' funny.
He is a great guy. And yeah, he's got a few more weeks of his other commitments. And hopefully we're going to see him, if not in the next episode, the episode after that. So real soon we're going
to
get him.
I mean, because I would love to record with that guy more regularly.
Oh, yeah.
I was editing the episode and I was laughing out loud. And Melina's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you're never going to understand.
You had to be there. So let's see. I guess we should go ahead and I think that was all I was wanting to talk about before. One other thing before we really get into this contest, we just got off a fantastic contest. Actually two, depending on when exactly this episode drops. If this episode drops on Monday, you still have time to enter the Alien Nation, DVD giveaway. I've started watching those discs. It's really great. It's bringing back a lot of great memories from watching the television show. I was a fan of the movie, a fan of the television show. I kind of missed these movies that they came out with after the fact, but I'm really enjoying watching them now. As I get through a couple more of them, I'm going to give a more thorough review at some point. But this is a really great DVD set. If you've seen the movie or watched the TV show, the Alien Nation Ultimate Movie Collection, we're giving away two copies of it, and the contest ends May 5th. So if we get this episode out on May 5th, you have until today to join. But even so, even if you're not listening to this that day or we miss the date, we've got two more contests we're going to be running throughout the month of May. We've got two more DVDs that we're giving away. We've been talking about them for a while, but we never actually pulled the trigger on getting them out and giving them away. We've got Automaton Transfusion.
Fusion?
I think that's the name. Though I you know what, I've heard Slice of Sci-Fi talking about this and gave it away. And every time they talked about it, even on their webs, actually it was on the Zombie Channel, which is another Farpoint Media venture. The Zombie Channel was, but they were always advertising it on Slice of Sci-Fi, which thank you to Slice of Sci-Fi for advertising for us too. But they always referred to it as Automation Transfusion. But so yeah. Even in the text, they refer to that. So it's a ridiculously confusing name.
Yes.
But we've got that one, and we've got a copy of Stephen King's The Mist, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. And which is a great movie if you avoid the last 5 minutes, three minutes, something like that. I think we figured out.
Yes.
But yeah, when they, if you watch the movie, when they count the bullets, just stop. That's the end of the movie. You don't need to watch any further. That's, you know, from our, if we were the producers, as it were, that's how it would have happened.
Start backseat producing right now.
Damn straight. So check out our contest page. We've got contests we're running, and hopefully we're gonna have even more. We gave away a ton of Netflix, and everybody's getting them now, and very happy with it. I know I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, everybody's stoked about that.
Great stuff. So let's go ahead and dig into this because I'm tired of talking about nothing.
Good.
There will be blood.
There will be blood. And there was.
Yes, there was. Yes, there was. And there was milkshakes.
Oh! We'll get there.
Yeah, we will get there. This movie is based on a book. Is it Upton Oil. Sinclair?
Yep.
Upton Sinclair's Oil is what this book is based, is what the movie is based on. I have not read the book, so I can't speak to how accurate they are. And you said you have not either?
I have not, no.
Okay. Now, again, this is another one of the Oscar-nominated films, so I'm a little fuzzy on some of the details of the names, and just because it was, I've talked about it before, it was that long day, and I'm watching the five movies. So, but it's the story of a man who is working as a miner, and through the course of his life, basically, through the course of his adult life, builds himself up into an oil tycoon. Mm-hmm. As high-level review as I can give it, it's his struggles through life and everything he's willing to go through to succeed.
Totally agree.
And
the guy who plays the main character, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis is fantastic.
Fan-frigging-tastic.
Oh, my God.
He won Best Actor, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
I'm pretty sure he did. Absolutely.
I've seen all five of the Oscar movies now, and he deserved it.
Yes. There is no doubt.
He was just outstanding.
Yeah. Phenomenal performance. Mm-hmm. All around. All the acting in the movie was great. Did not have a problem with one bit of the acting. The dialogue, the writing was incredible.
I agree.
The story, as it was, it was very easy to follow. It was very clear. The story flowed very nicely.
I will agree with you for most of them.
Right.
There are a couple scenes that I thought were so disjointed, like so non-contiguous, or they were so disjointed in the way that they were presented and like kind of what I thought of the characters that I had a hard time with them.
Okay.
But after the kind of like shift, it was consistent again. So it kind of like went up in spikes. Like the intensity went up in spikes.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the some of those disjointed scenes when we get to the spoiler part.
Spoiler scenes.
Yeah. And I won't say that this was, I mean, for all the good there was in this movie, I did have problems with it.
Definitely. I totally agree.
And it took, this one was definitely a movie I needed a couple of days to digest.
Right. I actually watched it twice.
Wow.
Because I watched it once and then Melina fell asleep in it. And without getting too much into a spoiler, the ending was something I wanted to see again.
Yes.
And so I watched the rest of the movie to get to the ending again.
Okay. I can see that.
And I thought it was much better the second time around.
You know, from what I saw, I would like to give it another watch to because I think there's more I can get out of it. This is a movie that I can't recommend for everyone.
No, definitely not.
It's not an easy movie to watch. And it's not that it's like as brutal as No Country for Old Men was. They're
not as brutal, but very more like humanly brutal.
Yeah, it's not physically violent.
Right.
But it
hits you personally.
Yeah, it can be personally and emotionally traumatic and violent. I mean, it's emotionally violent, which is...
Definitely.
I think that's the best way to describe it. I mean, seeing this kind of movie, and I mean, with everything else that I was seeing that day, There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men really stood out because of how they affected me. The rest of the movies were fine as they were, but neither one of them really got under my skin quite the same way. And I think from that aspect, There Will Be Blood really got under my skin a lot more. Because the content. It was some of it was just really, really brutal. And the main character, which his name escapes me, and we hear it so many times through the course of the movie.
Plainview.
One of the kids' toys is going off for no apparent reason. That's very strange. We should leave that. Oh, that's gonna get annoying if it keeps going.
His name was Plainview.
Yes.
I think it was HD Plainview.
Yes. Oh, hang on one second. I got to do something about this because this is killing me. Was it Daniel? Daniel Plainview, and his son was HW, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Getting up and fixing that situation. Jogged my memory. I mean, this movie, the character of Daniel, he goes through phases where there are times when I feel like I want to cheer for him, and there are times that I feel like I want to just, you know, grind him under my heel. Face. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is probably the closest I could come to really an anti-hero character.
Totally. I totally agree with you.
Because, I mean,
he's such an interesting guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is an anti-hero kind of character that's not done like the Punisher or the Crow or one of those characters that it's all about revenge. I've had some great loss in my life, and it's all about revenge, and I need to avenge my family or my wife or my love or my children or anything like that. That's not really his motivation. His motivation is all about the oil and the money he's going to get from it.
And in fact, when you start watching the movie, you're going to notice this pretty quick. The first half hour, there is no dialogue.
Yeah.
So ever. And it was creepy. And like almost the first thing that is spoken by Daniel Day-Lewis. And he's like, I'm an oil man.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he's like, I have blah, 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 blah. So when I tell you I'm an oil man, you'll know I mean it. And it's like that he's just described himself. And it almost carries through the entire movie.
Right.
Which I thought that was pretty badass.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, it was really an interesting character study for that guy. As far as the review goes, I would say it's hard for me to peg who this movie might be good for just because it is kind of, an emotionally disturbing movie. Especially because you find yourself, especially early in the film, you know, you're siding with him, you're following him,
you wish him well.
You want him to succeed, and if you don't want him to succeed, you're not going to be interested enough to follow him through what the last two-thirds of the movie brings you. I think it was a really interesting choice, like you said, that the first was about a half an hour that is just no dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's him watching him go through his experiences. In some cases, he's all alone working and you wouldn't really expect him to talk. So it's not that they're just avoiding dialogue. It's just, there really was no need for it. It wouldn't have served any purpose, but it really served the purpose of setting the feel of the struggle that he went through to get where he was. Because even in the beginning of the movie, a span of, I mean, it had to have been 10 or 12 years, if not a little more than that, from the opening scene of the movie to where the movie truly starts.
Right. You're right.
And it almost plays like a prologue, but not, because if you don't see him struggle, if you don't get the feel that he worked in the oil fields, he lived it, he crawled down in the tunnels, put dynamite in the rocks, ran out of the mines before the dynamite blew up, literally ran, you know, that he didn't live those moments, that you couldn't really appreciate when he walks in a suit and he's trying to buy land to mine it for oil, to drill for oil.
I thought that was an awesome way to do the exposition of his struggle, because it's like that 10-minute scene where they show you everything they want to tell you, but don't have to, like, it's not wasted. It doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel stale. It doesn't feel anything like that, which is a refreshing style of storytelling that I wish more people would do.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably, I think it was about 10 or 15 minutes that another filmmaker might have made the decision to have that come out in dialogue.
Yeah, I think another filmmaker probably would have had his speech trying to buy more land the exposition.
Yes.
Well, yes. I worked on this place.
I worked in those fields, and I yeah, exactly, exactly. And that's kind of what I mean. It would have come out in dialogue, and it wouldn't have been honest. Or you wouldn't know right. if it was honest or not. You wouldn't know if he was just being a salesman.
Right. I wouldn't have felt anything if they didn't show me it.
Exactly. Exactly.
As for my review, I thought the movie, watching the movie the first time through, I got about midway through and I'm like, I am getting bored to tears. And then it starts to pick up in ways I did not expect it to.
Mm-hmm.
And it carries out through the rest of the movie to the big finale. And like Atonement, the finale, worth it. Stick with it. It's a little slow in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it pays off at the end.
The first, immediately following the movie, I was very disappointed in the ending.
Really?
Yeah. I was disappointed in it.
Okay. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you, so was I. Because, I mean, well, in all honesty, I stopped watching before the ending, before the final scene.
Oh, wow.
And I was talking to Luke, and I was like, oh, man, I'm not even going to go finish that. I don't even want to go finish it. And then Luke's like, go back and watch it. The ending is the payoff. And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. So I went back and watched it, and I was like, all right, Luke, you win this round.
Yep.
That ending made the rest of the movie better.
Yeah, it took a while for it to really sink in. And I mean, that's really the most I can say is you have to be willing to stick with it and trust that what's being presented will get somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you may not agree with how it all plays out, but
not agreeing with is okay.
Yeah.
Because the end, it's a good ending.
It's an ending that makes sense, and it's an ending that, in an odd way, you should expect. You should expect it to end exactly how it does. And I really won't say any more than that until we get to the spoiler.
Yeah, because I really want to talk about the scene.
I do too. I think we'll probably talk for, you know, three times longer than the scene lasted.
Yeah, probably.
When we get to it.
It's good. We probably already have.
We probably. So, all that said, you have to be willing to have a little faith in the movie. It's
I agree.
This is a movie that you could watch for a film class, I think, for a filmmaking class, and really get a lot out of.
I totally agree.
Because
there was a lot of nuance to this movie that
there really was. You absolutely nailed it with that. It's it was an interesting movie to watch. You know, it's not like it was a fun movie. It wasn't a roller coaster ride. It wasn't anything like that. At times it was uneasy. The character interaction was fantastic.
Character interaction was friggin' fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis brought a lot to the table because he was awesome. And I think that everybody else who was in the movie kept up easily.
Yes. Absolutely. And the kid they get to play his son.
Mm-hmm. At which part?
Early on.
That kid was good.
Yeah, he was. He was really good. At first, it didn't seem like there was a lot to him, but as it mm-hmm. played out, there was a lot for him, and he pulled it off really definitely. Well. He pulled it off really well. It seemed like he was placeholder for a while, and
I thought he was just going to be an ornament to just kind of carry it around, and then that he definitely stepped up.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, I think that's really all I can go on. I'd say for review, I enjoyed it after the fact, and it took a couple of days to sink in. It's not an easy movie to watch, and there are times when it was uncomfortable to watch.
Yep.
But it was a very well-made movie.
Totally agree.
No matter what, I will argue with anybody that says it was not a well-made movie. The acting was great. The writing was great. The direction was fantastic. So we'll go. I guess we'll go ahead and take a break here. And
yeah, let's go, because I think we're going to spend a lot of time on the analysis of this movie.
Yeah,
just because there is so much that we're going to want to talk about that is not not spoilery. But before we head off the break, next week we are going to be we're going to be talking about Juno.
Yes.
We should probably mention that before the break this time.
Yes, that would probably be a good idea. Unless, I don't know. Yeah, we'll probably do Juno.
We might as well do Juno.
I was going
to
say.
My old man wanted to come for this one, and he's like, well, I'm not going to watch the movie. And I'm like, dude, you should. I'm trying to get him into doing his own podcast. And he's like, well, man, I can't do that. I can't get up there to talk. I'm like, dude. Get up here and talk about a movie. I mean,
it's easy.
Yeah, it's real easy, and you have fun doing it. And I know you love talking about movies, so this is a nice gateway drug for you.
Yeah, no kidding. It's not like, you know, he couldn't just sit here and drink.
Yeah, exactly. Have a couple beers, talk about a movie.
Yeah, and if you don't, contribute that much to the conversation, at least you've sat there and had a couple of beers.
Yeah, no kidding. So.
And you've refilled ours. If you're not going to talk. All right, let's go ahead and take the break, and we'll be back in just a sec.
Hello, my name is Holden.
Hi, this is Tony, and we are going to tell you what we thought about the movie Iron Man. So, Holden, what was your favorite part of the movie?
I like the part where Tony was flying in his Iron Man suit.
Yeah, Tony Stark?
Yeah, Tony Stark.
Yeah, did you think he was pretty good as Iron Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, was he a good guy or a bad guy?
Good guy.
So you liked the part when he was flying in a suit? Was that the first time he flew in a suit or what?
All the parts.
When
he flew in a suit.
When he flew in a suit. There were some parts of this movie that you thought were a little bit creepy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about those parts.
That's fine. We don't have to talk about those parts. What do you remember about the movie? What was the movie about?
It was about this man called Tony Stark, and German Stark means strong.
Yeah, and German Stark means strong.
Yeah, and we had a little bit fun, and I really liked the movie a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some parts that I didn't like, and I don't want to talk about those parts.
Okay. And you didn't like them just because they were creepy, right?
Right.
What was Tony's assistant's name? What was her name? Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
Pepper.
Pepper Potts.
Yeah. And she helped out Tony quite a bit, didn't she?
Yeah.
And what were the bad guys like?
They found this Iron Man weapon.
Uh-huh.
In a desert where Tony fell, and
so at the beginning of the movie, Tony Stark gets captured by some radicals, and they're from all over the world, so they all speak different languages, so they're not very specific about who they are, and they're referred to as the Ten Rings. Which, for comic book fans, that's a reference to the Mandarin, who's one of Iron Man's bad guys. And Tony is captured so that he can help them put together his new weapons that Stark Industries is making. Stark International, I think they call it in this, is making. Tony's a weapons designer, and he sells weapons. So he gets captured. Well, while he's in captivity, they think he's working on this new missile system, but really, what's he building, Holden?
A suit,
that's right. The first Iron Man suit. And he uses that to break out and beat up all the bad guys. And the last thing he does is fly off. But he has no control when he flew off in that. And he crash lands. But he eventually gets rescued and comes back to the United States. Then he builds his second Iron Man suit, and then a third Iron Man suit, which is the one we really see, the red and gold one is the third one. Do you think you'll tell your friends at school? What do you think you'll tell your friends at school about this movie?
Hey friends, I saw the movie Iron Man, and Jackson, what will be like, what? And
what will you tell him? Will you tell him you liked it, or will you tell him you didn't like it?
I'm telling him I did see it.
You're going to tell him you saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell all my class.
Okay. Well, thank you for talking about the movie with me today, Holden. Can you say bye?
Bye!
Bye. Yeah, the only thing that I was wondering about is Iron Man comes out this week.
Yeah, I can't see it, though. I can't see it when it comes out because we're seeing it in Chicago with Moon is Dead.
Oh. When is that?
May 15th-ish.
Okay.
So
you're going to wait a couple weeks to see it?
I mean, if you see it and Anthony sees it and you guys will go cut an episode on it, that's cool. I mean, I'm not going to feel slighted or anything.
So. No, what I'm thinking I might do is see it with Holden and see if I can get him to talk about it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and see if we can get just a... And maybe that can be a filler, you know. And depending on when we do it, if he and I see it this weekend and I can get him to sit down in front of the microphone for 5 minutes this weekend, we can record that, and that can be what gets dropped in right here.
Right. Because not that I'm going to disparage Iron Man right out of the gate, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know how much analysis of Iron Man you're going to be able to do.
You know, I was thinking that too. I was thinking we might hit a point where taking some of these summer movies and maybe like, you know, things like Iron Man and Speed Racer and Incredible Hulk. And
yeah,
I think Indy we could do a little more with because we could talk about the other Indy movies with it.
Yeah, Indy has a legacy, but like Hulk or Speed Racer, you're right. There's not... It's gonna be like the X-Men movies. Yeah, it was fun to go see it, but there's not much of a discussion.
Well,
Wolverine has awesome claws.
See, I think you could actually get into a little bit of a discussion on the first and second one because they did have some of the moral issues with it. Beyond that, the third one was just...
I don't count the third one.
No. If the third one was...
I was talking to Molly, and she's like, you know, remember when we saw the second X-Men and... At the end, they had the Phoenix in the water, and you got so excited. And I'm like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was before they ruined the Phoenix saga.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I was excited. And then I was terribly disappointed, and then I got angry.
Yeah. You know, if they would have made the third movie first, I don't think I would have disliked it as much. I think I might have enjoyed it. Because I would have not had the expectations that were built up by the first two.
Right. And I was gypped out of a full-bodied Sentinel.
Yeah, we did get to see.
Watch out, Sentinel!
Got a fastball special though.
Yeah,
I love me some X-Men. Boy, you could tell that was totally written by people who really knew and loved Claremont's run on X-Men. Because that was totally cribbed from everything Claremont did in the X-Men. The whole movie was.
I guess. I don't know. I was talking to Melina, and I'm like, they need to do one of, like, the really cool scenes where, like, Magneto leeches all the adamantium out of Wolverine and he almost dies. Come on. I mean, that's some brutal shit.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And Jean Grey and Professor Xavier trying to hold them together telekinetically because he's ripping apart. Come on.
Okay. Are we ready to get back to this?
Mm-hmm.
Alright. And we're back.
Yes, we are. And I am ready to do some spoiler talk.
If you have not seen There Will Be Blood, you probably don't want to listen any further. You will definitely enjoy it more. And if you've listened through to this point, you probably at least have an interest in it. I would say go see the movie. It's
definitely.
Pick up the DVD. It is worth watching. It's a little bit on the longer side, but definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. Let's spoil this milkshake.
Oh, man! Okay, we gotta start at the end, because that scene was so...
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Loved it.
Yes.
Daniel Day-Lewis, the best. The milkshake part of that scene was brilliant. But I think the best and most just angsty, hate-ridden, spiteful thing is he's chewing on that steak, and he's like, I want you to say that you're a sham.
Yeah.
Your religion is false. Then he makes it repeated over and over again. Then he's like, stand up.
And his accent in this movie is so great because it's so it's so easy to imitate. Just to repeat the lines.
He was so brilliant. That whole ending scene where he just finally snaps and he's just like, you know what, I'm done. I have completely diverged from any vestiges of my own humanity. He's chasing around the bowling alley, throwing bowling pins at him.
Yeah. What I said earlier that I avoided saying was that you should expect the ending because it's the title of the damned movie.
Yes.
The title completely, it's, you wait for it. The title is there. It's kind of like No Country for Old Men again.
Yep.
It's all last about scene. It's all about the last scene, and it all ties into the title. And you're waiting for it. When you get to the point where there is blood, the movie's over.
Yep.
Period. I mean, that's it. And it was, it bugged me. The first time I watched it. Well, I mean, I only watched it once, but immediately after finishing the movie, it was like, What the hell just happened?
Yes.
We had this phenomenal buildup, and then we just see him crack.
Yep.
And then the movie's over.
Yep. Like, and actually, what the hell? It happened twice for me. The first time is right after his son becomes deaf.
Yeah.
And, the preacher guy is walking up to him in the mud field, and he's like, hey, man, where's my money? And so then, like, he beats the crap out of him, and he's rubbing mud in his face and his hair and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, that came so out of left field. And then it was like, from that point on, he was brutal and sadistic like that. And then it was like, as soon as I had adjusted to that, then the end happened.
Yeah.
And he just snapped. And it was like, okay.
Yeah, well, and you know, it was all the way through the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, this was not something that they just threw on you at the end. The second time we see him, the guy he's drilling with gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of takes his kid.
Off, yeah.
Well, and then he takes his kid. And it's, you know, he makes the kid his own.
I don't know that is necessarily, because I thought that was more of an act of, I think that was like the last act of humanity that the dude did. Like, he took in the dude who was working for him, his son, as his own.
You know, I thought of that, but I don't even think that was it. I think he just did it because what you said earlier, he wanted an ornament. He wanted it to seem like it was a family business. Which is exactly how he sold it, you know, as he was selling it to these different towns and these different people. It's my family business. This is my son, HW, you know, and it was all about the presentation of family and doing it for myself and my son, and we're a partnership. And his whole life from the second scene of the movie became false. And then everything after that was him just living this illusion. Sudden, when the cracks start appearing, that's when he starts losing it. And that's what makes it a really interesting character study for me. And that's what I didn't want to really talk about in the non-spoiler section, because...
Yeah, because once those cracks start appearing...
Oh, man. It gets brutal really quick.
And Daniel Day-Lewis does it so well.
Oh, my goodness.
He just sticks that guy... He runs that dude through the paces. Well, and he sticks with it all the way to the end.
And it's not just that guy. It's, you know, it's that guy. It's the guy who comes to him that claims to be his brother. Mm-hmm. It's the kid that, you know, that was supposed to be his son that he basically just you know, tosses to the side.
Yep, as soon as he's damaged.
Yeah, as soon as he's damaged and he can't fulfill, you know, the purpose that, that he was serving, in that he was a partner, he was my son, he's helping me sell, you know, he's helping me facilitate the buying of this land from these people to drill it. Beyond
actually,
that,
the whole movie is about that kind of transition from the quote unquote normalcy to the extreme. Like, and his son is the only one who doesn't end up that way. Because if you look at the dude who shows up who pretends to be his brother,
yeah,
you look at the preacher guy at the end of their existence in the movie,
mm-hmm.
they are all but cracked and done.
Oh yeah.
All but broken people, and it's only his son who, like, he goes a little crazy once he becomes deaf, but that's more because Daniel Day-Lewis like abandons him, rejects him.
I abandon my son. I abandon my child. Yeah,
and then after that, he kind of like writes himself. And become that whole scene at the end where Daniel Day-Lewis is just spitting and cussing at him.
Yeah.
Making fun of him. And the one guy has to translate for him.
Yeah, it was and that's the kind of stuff that was just really uncomfortable to watch. It was really hard to watch.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch. And what was interesting was watching the apparent complete breakdown and stripping down of Daniel Day-Lewis's character in the church, where he's up there, I've abandoned my boy, and he's just screaming and crying and pulling at his hair and gnashing his teeth. And then you realize it was all a front. You know, it was all
just to get that land.
Exactly. And it's all to serve the purpose. To serve that purpose and to stick it to the preacher.
Yeah, the preacher later, yeah.
Oh, man.
That preacher guy, that guy was weird.
Yes, he was.
I kind of felt that they did a little bit overboard with him, like making him too crazy religiously, like with the screaming and the shouting and the biting of the devil and the, if I had no teeth, I would gnaw you with my gums. I think they pushed it a little too far there.
Well, there was a lot of it that was pushed kind of over the top.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all along, you know, from that to, you know, I've abandoned my boy, to the scene at the end where he gets the preacher to basically give the same kind of testimony. There are parts of it that are all just a little bit over the top.
Mm-hmm.
See, one of the other interesting things is how they shot the movie in such a way that it really felt authentic. In that it felt like the dirt was earned, and it's kind of a weird way, but it really felt like that. We were looking at these people in the time that they lived, and not a prettied up version of it.
Mm-hmm.
It really felt honest. Yeah, I mean, you saw people covered in oil and blood and dirt, and you know, and it felt real. It never felt like it was made to look. Yeah, exactly. And I thought that was that really lent itself to the whole feel of the movie and made the movie better for that.
Yeah, I definitely got that sense of kind of authentic production value.
I mean,
that's a nice polish.
Yeah, I mean, so much so even that, like, in the first couple of scenes, I wasn't sure if the guy I was looking at was Daniel Day-Lewis. Because he was so dirty. I mean, he was just covered in dirt from drilling and blasting in these mines.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was that actually was causing me to question exactly who I was watching and what I was looking at, because I wasn't really sure. That was the one thing that was a little bit odd. And I'm not going to lie, the beginning of it was really slow. And yeah. I wasn't sure especially going into the movie not really knowing anything about it, after the first probably 5 or 6 minutes, my first thought was, oh dear God, there's not enough caffeine in the world that's going to keep me awake for this movie.
Yeah.
Because I knew I had...
like, there will be blood. Oh, I bet there won't.
Yeah. And if there's not, I'm going to make sure there is some splattered all over the screen by whoever made me sit there and watch this movie. Fortunately, though, the timing of them getting past that worked really well. And it worked because I felt that way. I felt that this was brutal. I felt that this was kind of torturous, and there was a long passage of time. And every time I saw that there was, you know, a year change, it's like, oh, good God, hopefully something's going to happen interesting now. But
one of the things they did that I really enjoyed was the transitions, the music that they put to the transitions, because it starts off and it's really loud and harsh.
Oh yeah.
That it always slips into like this discord that, like, the first time I heard it, I was like, ugh, it's so grating, stop it. But then it was like midway through the movie and I'm like, dude, this is totally the perfect music for this movie. Because it was dramatic and it was like insane at the same time.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that until you mentioned it. And that really happened right at the beginning too. That was one of the things that was kind of going over all this really slow stuff, was that music.
Yeah, and then it slips into that discord and you're cringing. You're like, oh, stop.
Yeah. And that all kind of added to the brutality of it.
Yeah, I know.
It really did.
It created an awesome ambiance that it was like, it felt almost like horror music.
Yeah.
But typically the horror movies are darker, but it was so bright in the movie that it felt really out of place and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Which put me right in the perfect mood for the character.
Well,
I didn't know what it
was. And you may not have gotten this sense out of it because you watched it. You didn't watch it in the theater.
No, I watched it at home.
Yeah. The movie was very bright, but there were also some scenes that were pretty dark.
Right.
And there was no gentle transition between the dark and the light. And you're sitting in the theater in low light, and then all of a sudden it's day on an open plain in Texas. And it's like, good God. Yeah. I mean, you go from trying to watch to all of a sudden you're squinting because it gets so bright. And that's one of the interesting things that I think watching things on DVD, you don't pick up on and you don't always see. It's the one thing that I've heard about the movie Cloverfield. I still haven't seen the movie, but I've heard that in the theater, people were getting motion sick because of the way it was shot and things like that. But now that it's on DVD, there are a lot of more people who are willing to see it because the motion sickness doesn't affect you as much when it's on a small screen.
I watched it 2 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say anything about it in case we actually talk about it at some point.
I'm sure we will.
But Melina and one of her friends saw it in the theater. Melina had to leave the theater. And her friend was vomiting at the theater.
Wow. From holy
pure
cow.
Motion sickness. And having seen it, I can see that. I'd had a couple too many beers. I watched it and I was like,
I find that hard to believe.
This might not end well.
Oh, man. Oh. Interesting.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
we'll
the one thing.
We'll have to talk about it at some point.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, I think we should talk about it at some point and maybe talk about the difference of seeing movies in the theater versus seeing them at home. Because I think there really is something that lends itself to seeing a movie in a theater. This is the kind of movie that at first glance I would say, watch it at home. But I really felt immersed in it, and I really was involved in it because I was in the theater. I think I might have gotten bored and walked away from it if I was at home. I would have found something else to distract me. And I would have missed something. I think I would have missed something because of that.
I did, and I almost didn't finish it because of that. Although I'm glad I went back and actually finished it, because Luke was right. That milkshake scene was so brilliant.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
All the way over here. By the straw. All the way into your milkshake.
That was genius.
I drink it up.
That was phenomenal. To get that and then say, I don't need it.
Yep. That was so awesome. I don't want it.
No, not really necessary anymore.
Drainage.
Yeah. His acting was incredible in the movie.
Yep.
Because of this movie, I want to go seek out a few more Daniel Day-Lewis pictures that I have not yet seen. Because of his acting in this movie. I mean, that's a pretty big statement for me, because I'm not one to really follow acting all that much. Mm-hmm. I dig stories. I will follow some actors somewhat, but not really. I'm more likely to follow a writer or a director than I am an actor.
I typically fall into that category, but there are some times that, like when I did a lot of drama in high school, like I did more drama than I did writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a more, I don't want to say familiar, but to personally, I relate better to actors and I guess the two characters than I do the story. And so if one impresses me enough, then I would much rather follow their career than, I guess, a director. Because the director changes his style and like for every movie. And
They can, yeah. And some of them are just weird.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie about it. They are.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I completely agree with you. So.
But, I mean, for me, like, I'm a geek for Alfred Hitchcock. Mm. I'll go see anything with his name attached to it. And it's because he chose movie projects well, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they're the kind of movies that interest me. The kind of movies he ended up making were the kind of movies that I am interested in. My favorite movie, without a doubt, my favorite movie is North by Northwest. Alfred Hitchcock movie. So I followed that more. And I'm going to screw this up, probably, and piss people off, but the director of this film, was it Paul Thomas Anderson? I can't remember. And I'm leery of looking it up on IMDb just because I'm on this laptop and we're on Skype today, if you couldn't tell. I'm leery. Yes.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
And he's done some movies. Fairly tempted with it. Yeah. He's done some movies that I've found questionable. I've watched a couple of his movies before and have not been blown away, let us say. Which kind of let me going, you know, I was kind of going into this movie a little bit biased because of that. And not biased in a good way.
I gotta be honest, I'm looking at his filmography list here.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen any of these movies.
What are some of them?
Blossoms in Blood.
Haven't seen that one.
Mattress Man commercial. That might just actually be a commercial.
Yeah, it could be a commercial.
Couch.
No.
Punch Drunk.
Oh, Love. That one, yeah.
I got Magnolia.
Magnolia, yeah.
Boogie Nights.
I've seen Boogie Nights. Boogie Nights is all right.
Sydney.
Not familiar with that one.
Cigarettes and Coffee.
You know what?
And the.
And what?
Cigarettes and Coffee?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Dirk Diggler story.
Well, the Dirk Diggler story is Boogie Nights. That's the character in Boogie Nights. Yeah, I've seen Boogie Nights and Magnolia and what was the other one right before that one that you mentioned?
Punch Drunk Love.
That one, yeah. Magnolia, not a big fan of it. Punch Drunk Love, not a fan at all of that one. I know a lot of people were, and more power to you for that. It was it was Adam Sandler doing this really weird, hard to describe. I mean, it's a movie that is, it might be interesting to talk about, but I'd have to watch it again, and I really don't feel like it. it was that.
Was it Adam Sandler not being Adam Sandler?
Yes. Yeah. It was Adam Sandler being this guy who was kind of down on his luck, and for some reason, I mean, I just remember random violence. I mean, just bizarre stuff. I mean, so much so, I mean, I was so uninterested in this movie that I really can't even speak intelligently about it. Kind of the same way it is with Magnolia. I mean, it's just like, I'm was so not interested in it while I was watching it that I've forgotten most of it. It's just kind of been pushed out of my consciousness.
Interesting.
Yeah. Boogie Nights, on the other hand, was a good flick. And that movie had an unfortunate amount of penis also.
Oh, that's no good.
And well, actually, it was an unfortunately long penis.
I don't know if that's better or worse.
The last shot of that movie is something you have to see at least once just to experience it. But, yeah. Let's just say there was some prosthetics involved. Yeah. Now, that said, Coffee and Cigarettes is in my Netflix queue. So I'm willing to give it a shot. Because, you know, hey, this was a good movie. There Will Be Blood was a good movie. It was something that was a little hard to digest. It was not easy to watch, but it was a good flick.
Yep.
I really don't have anything else to say about it, I don't think. Nothing's coming to mind. Either.
I mean, because much like Atonement, I felt that this movie was a whole bunch of build-up to that last scene that kind of just shaped everything else.
Yeah.
And once you kind of dig in and talk about the last scene, and it was great, by the way, if I haven't said that 15 million times already. But, I mean, after that, what did you think about his brother? Because I thought that that whole thing was forced and unnecessary.
You know, at first I thought it was, but it kept the movie moving along and kept there was part of it toward the end of his brother, right before his brother ended up killing the guy, that I started to get really disinterested in it.
Yeah.
But it served to kind of fill the gap between his son being gone
and his son coming back.
His son coming back. It was necessary to keep the exposition and the story going. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why it felt a little bit pushed, forced, yeah. And it almost, I mean, it was weird because at first I'm buying this and I'm into it, and then I start getting really not interested in it.
Yeah. And then he shoots him in the head, and I was like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
That's fine. I was ready for that. You know what it almost felt like? It almost felt like I was watching a television series, and as the season goes along, they introduce a character because they need a character in there because there's a formula that they've already established, and one right. character had to leave, so they bring somebody else in to complete the formula. Mm-hmm. And then they find out that, hey, this other actor is going to come back to reprise the role from earlier on in the season.
Uh-oh.
So we got to get rid of this guy. So, oh, wait, he's really not his brother. And he's really a bad dude. So we're going to throw in all this stuff to make you realize that he's not who he says he is so that we can kill him and it will still be okay.
Yeah.
And he'll be a good guy because he got rid of him. And, you won't feel bad and wonder where he's from because he's dead.
Yeah.
And as weird as that sounds, it's exactly how it felt. But yeah, in the span of a two-hour movie.
I don't know what the hell they were thinking. Like, the religious guy shows up while he's like, just after he kills him, and he's sleeping off his hangover, and he's like, yeah, you're gonna have to go to church. And he's like, I have no sins. And the guy's like, dude, you killed your brother.
Yeah.
And he seemed mysteriously okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to go repent for your sins. I don't have any. You killed your brother. And he was like, okay, well, all right.
Well, it's not like they had any real law at that point. You know, there was really no effective law going on at the time.
Well, yeah, I know, but effective law or not, the crazy old religious guy still would be like, dude, you just killed your brother. I mean, law or not, that's kind of a messed up situation.
Well, yeah.
To walk into a camp.
That's true. This is true. Yeah, and there were parts of the story that were a little goofy, and that was definitely one. And that's why it just felt that whole sequence felt like it was out of place.
Yeah.
But that they were committed to it. It felt like they were committed to it, so they had to do something, but they had to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's.
I wonder if this is just like a poor adaptation from the book. Like
that could
there's
be
a scene that the brother something happens between him and his brother. That's like really more poignant or meaningful, and in the screenplay they just had to get rid of him.
That could
exactly
be.
Like how you were talking. Yeah.
Well, and depending on when the book was written and how it was written, if this was a serialized story that then was released as a novel, that very well could have been how it happened. Because I mean, novels at that point, it was typical to serialize them before they were released as a full-length book. So, given that, I mean, I don't know the history of this, so I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here, but you can almost see it happening that way, and then it could have been truly an adaptation from the book. The why they would have chose to adapt it quite that way is a little bit beyond me, because the rest of it was so good.
Yeah, was so well adapted.
If it was well adapted. I mean, I'm just making assumptions because I haven't read it. But what was being presented to me was well-produced media.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
that section was not...
Right, exactly. Exactly. That said, it did not lessen the film at all for me.
Yeah, me neither. It was
especially
just weird.
It was weird, and you know, once we were past it, it was like, oh, God, finally.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, really movement. Movement, we can get onto the next section of this film. Are we any closer to the blood that means the movie's over? So,
and after that, I have nothing else.
Yes, that was. I think that's a good place to end it. Again, we will be seeing Juno next week.
I can't wait to talk.
Juno. That should be an interesting one to talk about. You know,
I watched Juno twice too. So, spoiler, a little preview.
Yeah, it's. I've only seen it the one time, but I know it's on Julie's Netflix queue, so depending on when she gets it, maybe I'll be able to watch it again before we talk about it. One quick thing, and this has nothing to do with There Will Be Blood, but it actually has to do with Atonement. When I was posting the episode for Atonement, I did a little bit of Google searching because I was looking for an image to post with the posting, and found an article about that scene, that one sweeping scene at the war.
Uh-huh.
That was not digital. That was practical. They had thousands of extras. They had like 1,000 extras on a
that
beach.
Is incredible.
Yes. Yes. There was apparently a CNN article that was linked to it from this blog that I found, but the CNN article wasn't active anymore. So I couldn't read the actual article, so it was all basically secondhand knowledge from this blog. But they were saying how that scene had thousands of extras, and the stuff that you saw that you thought may have been digital wasn't. It's like, cool. Well, if that didn't look digital, it's probably because it wasn't. It was all practical. And there was a lot of talk about that scene and how impressive it was in that aspect. So as impressed with who we were with that scene, it's even more impressive.
Not knowing that, yeah.
Man, it's even cooler.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but anyway, this is probably a good place to end it. We will talk to you guys next week. And, it's probably too late to talk about this now. But if anybody's an artist and they're interested, give me a shout, tony@fanboysmackdown.com. We are still looking for album art and some banner art for the new podcast. That's one of the big holdups right now. Like I said, the guys who are doing it, who I had thought might be able to do it for us, are really busy. You know, no offense to them, nothing derogatory to say about them. They're great artists, and I would have loved to have been able to have them, but I'm cheap, and they have things that they're doing that are either paying them or are something they're more committed to for free. So,
well, you'd better be more committed to it for free.
Well, yes. So that said, send me an email. Send in some voicemail comments about this. One thing I'm going to go ahead and throw out there right now before we do the switch over to Backseat Producers, we're going to do a feedback show.
Ooh.
Well, and
it'll be a first for me.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how this is going to work out. We're going to just collect any feedback that we've got. We've got some on the Farpoint forums. We've got some on the comments posted right at the website. We've got a couple of emails. Comment in any of those places. If you want to send a voicemail, I'll go ahead and make sure the voicemail number's in the show notes to this. Send us email, anything you want, any way you want to you feel like commenting on this, any previous episodes. Let's go ahead and cut it off. Any of the previous episodes since Adam's been on, and then anything going forward until we do the name change. And that'll kind of be the range. We'll probably end up having a good 10, 15 episodes in that chunk by the time the switchover happens. So it could be a fairly interesting feedback show. But
it'll be like, remember when you guys talked about this movie?
Barely.
No.
Do we need to watch the movie again?
I was probably drunk, so I may have to listen to it again.
So yeah, let's go ahead and throw that out there, and I'll go ahead and make sure that this is in the show notes for folks who aren't listening or gave up on this a while ago. And we'll mention it again next time. So anyway, let's go ahead and call this a night. Get this one done. 'Cause it's already done. See ya.